Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me as we continue on our Bible study series in the book of James. Now this particular video is part two of two videos on James chapter 3. In my Bible I have the heading, the untamable tongue, and I put my hand up nice and high and go, yes, I've certainly suffered from foot and mouth disease. I won't even say more than once. I couldn't count the number of times I've had that ailment. And maybe you know what we're talking about. But as we go through this, we see that James is also not talking about just, you know, the person up the front in terms of leadership and the words that they might use, but he's talking about we. And he uses we quite a bit as we go through this. I think what I'll do today is we'll continue from chapter 3, verse 2, and then we'll come back and we'll look at some notes. So we'll grab your pen and paper, open your Bibles if you haven't already, and we'll dig straight in. So he says, for we, again speaking to all of us, we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, speaking of the things that we say, he is a perfect man, able to also bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, and here he gives the examples of the ships and so on, and the horse. We turn their whole body, verse 4, look also at ships, though they are so large, they are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, here we see the warnings in the language in verses 5 and 6, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire can kindle? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. And it sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. He's speaking from a experience here, no doubt. Verse 9, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the image, the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed both blessing and cursing. Oh, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, on a grapefruit, and a grapefruit bear figs? No. Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. At a glance, it's easy enough to understand. Be careful of what you say. But let's dig in a little bit further. And we'll pick up there from verse 2. We stumble all. We all. I don't want to miss that. We all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, this is the things that they say, he is a perfect man, a mature man, we also see from the Greek, able to bridle the whole body like you would on the horse. Notice that we. I don't know if I can emphasize that enough. We. I'm talking to both of us here, you and me. Verse 3, indeed, we, there it is again, put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at the ships, though they're so large, driven by fierce winds, they are turned by such a small rudder wherever the pilot desires. And so moving on from here, James is obviously addressing our manner of speech, the words which we use. And when I was growing up, the phrase always given to me was, two ears, one mouth, use them in proportion. I think I've ignored that most of my life, to my failing and to my detriment and to poor situation and circumstance, no doubt. But James, remember James, this is James, half-brother of Jesus. And we know from John chapter 7, it shows us that he didn't believe that the brothers, they did not believe. They thought that their brother, Jesus, who claimed to be the Messiah, was like, what? No. James here, he knew what it was like to stumble in words. And praise God, we know from Scripture that after the resurrection that he came to believe when he saw him. Mark 3 tells us that even his own people, it says, quote, even his own people sought to lay hold of him, saying, he's out of his mind. And the Greek for own people literally means those near to him, family, close relatives, so on. James knew, just like we do, that there are no take-backs on the things that are said. Verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. There's a good saying, it takes 2 years to learn to talk. It takes another 50 to learn to be quiet. I'm 50-something, so I'm allowed to say that. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Oh dear, how many times have you wished that you could just take it back? You said something, you can't, oh no, what have I said? It takes but just a few moments for those harsh words to be said in a relationship, and damage is done. And I've seen the relationships, the damage done between, you know, a father and a son, torn apart over an afternoon's argument, between a mother and a daughter, a brother and a sister, a husband and a wife. I've seen these things happen. And once that forest fire begins, it's so hard to put it out. It can take years to repair the damage that was done in a day. I know. Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And Proverbs 12, that the tongue pierces like a sword, or promotes health. The tongue is also set, we continue to read here in James, is set among our members, that it defiles the whole body, and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. Gehenna, this word, in the Greek, the valley of Hinnom. And if you don't know the story, go and read 2 Kings 23. Idolatry, child sacrifice, this word Gehenna, referring to an actual physical place outside of Jerusalem of fiery torment, representative of eternal separation from God. That's what it represents. Tradition says that it was used as a garbage dump for the bodies of the homeless in Jesus' time. Animal carcasses, criminals, refuse, all just dumped and buried there. Gehenna. This is the illustration. It illustrates the seriousness of unchecked sin through our words. The tongue, here it says, can defile the whole body. The body, the church, the tongue, the words that we speak can even bring and destroy a church, folks. Verse 7, every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But I need you to understand one thing as we go through this. And look, this is important. This is not the power of positive confession. This is not the word of faith movement. This is not what we're talking about. This is the Proverbs 31 woman. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Death or life are in the power of the tongue. And the Proverbs 31 woman, that beautiful angel, that lovely lady, has on her lips kindness. That is an example then for us, yes? But verse 8 says, no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil. It is unrestrainable. It's full of deadly poison, full of venom. With it we bless God the Father, verse 9, with it we curse men who has been made in the similitude, the likeness of God. Notice again, we do this. And this is an example given to me by someone else, but explains it so well. You're having an argument, crazy argument with the wife. And the phone rings. And you're like, ah, oh, phone rings. Hello? Yes, this is a Christian home. Oh, yes, may God bless you all in what you do. Haven't you seen that before? husband and wife arguing. One of the kids comes in. Oh, we're all nice all of a sudden. Someone knocks at the door. Someone rings on the phone. All of a sudden, we change. Folks, we need to change beforehand. Just as we wish we could take it back, but we also need to remember there are many times where we wish we should have said what we did not say. The untamable tongue. These are warnings, but it's not futile. I promise you on that. It is not futile. I love the words of Paul. I use them a lot where he said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." Now, Jesus did not have this untamable tongue problem. He did not suffer from foot in mouth disease. Every word was carefully thought about and then spoken to bring about a desired purpose. The tongue, friend, is so powerful. And we see here this example, Matthew 7. I might even just turn to that if you would. Matthew 7, verse 20. "Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone," here's the tongue, "who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." This is lip service Christianity. Not everyone. "Many will say," there it is, the tongue again, "many will say in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done wonders in your name?' And I," Jesus speaking here, "says, will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" You may say one thing, but you do another. Matthew 15, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man." Verse 19, "Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Out of the heart it comes." Verse 10, "Out of the same mouth," this is back in James now, "out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing." Oh, brothers, you right now, please listen carefully. Let it not be so. It should not be that way. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says that we are to discipline our body and bring it into subjugation. We bring it subject to the Word of God. "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." How? By replacing those thoughts that you don't want with Scripture, with Holy Scripture. It is a discipline. It takes self-control, that fruit of the Spirit. "Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? No. Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh." And in Ephesians 5:26, in context, understanding that the context, the relationship between husbands and wives, is representative, of course, of Christ and the bride, we read that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. The spoken word, rhema in the Greek. The spoken word, the things that we say, so important. And so we have this struggle between our two natures, the old man and the new man. But I mean, thank God that we have two natures, because beforehand we had just one. Spurgeon said that dead men, they don't wrestle. I thank God that I wrestle with these things, because it's the old and the new, and the new with Christ shall overcome. So my prayer to you is that you be so yielded to the Spirit that God do for you what I see him doing for me. That what we cannot do for ourselves is just to tame the tongue. That's what I pray for you. I see him doing it. I mean, man, if you knew me beforehand, you would not recognize now. Honestly, I say it with shame, but that's the way it was. Even when my wife and I when we met and when we got married in those first periods of time. And I remember going on a bike ride saying to her, "Sweetheart, just thought I'd pre-warn you, you might hear some things that you've not heard me say before, because when some car comes out to try and kill me," and she would hear me road rage. Wow. And she'd hear me sometimes sitting with friends, and my language there so different to my language with her, and the language and intent of my heart so different to my language and intent of my heart with her and our children. I pray that God will do the work in you that I see him doing in me, that we may, as it is in verse 2, though we stumble in many things, that we begin to not stumble so much in word, that we may be that whole and complete man. And we see James also referring to that in verse 4 of chapter 1. Let patience have its perfect work, that we may be perfect and complete in our faith, lacking nothing. All right, folks, this is what we need to be working on. Our words, they show our fruit. Yes? Yes. God bless. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.